From the land of Grand Theodore University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 30th day of January 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson from agmarket.net. Dan O'Brien will be here from Kansas State University to discuss the commodity markets in greater detail. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take up the weather forecast too with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way, I'll give you more details about the upcoming all-day ag outlook that's scheduled for the 5th day of March. It's a Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Registration has opened. Go to willag.org. The cost is just $40. We have a fantastic event scheduled for you. I hope to see you then. You can register now at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn for the day settled at $4.47¾, 7½ cents higher. The May up 8¼ at $4.58¾, and new crop December $4.80¼, up 5¾ cents. March soybeans at $12.18¾, up 24½. The May at $12.27¾, up 22¾. November beans settled just below $12 at $11.97¼, up 17 cents for the new crop. Bean meal futures at $3.63¾. $1.70 higher. The bean oil also 45 cents higher at $46 even. Soft red winter wheat futures up 12½ at $6.30¾. The hard red for the day, or rather the soft red was at $6.05½, up 12. The hard red was at $6.30¾, 12½ higher. Live cattle futures at $181.75, up 52½, and feeders up $2.70. Lean hogs $1.47½ higher. Crude oil up $1.10. Diesel fuel or heating oil $0.01¢ lower for the day. Gasoline up 3¾ at $2.29¢ per gallon on the RBOB. That's the wholesale price. Here to make some sense of all these numbers today is Wayne Nelson of agmarket.net. Hi, Wayne. Thanks for being with us for the day.
Yeah, isn't it fun to have a turnaround Tuesday when it goes higher?
Oh, yes, yes. For you particularly, I would think it would be a great deal more fun than having what we've seen for the last 6-7 weeks in both the corn and the soybean markets, though I've not been able to find much about why the market bounced other than maybe it just got tired of going down. Do you see anything?
Well, you know, the tired of going down is somewhat of it is out there. They're reinserting a little weather premium as confidence is slipping that needed rains are going to fall in Argentina over the next 7 to 10 days. That's the one positive thing out there. But as we look at a lot of other things, it's basically that they made a new contract low by a quarter of a cent in corn last night. Then we surged up and if we closed above 447.5 was what was needed to carve out a key reversal. And we closed at 447¾. So we actually saw a key reversal in the corn that way. So the next resistance is 453¼, Todd. And we did see a purchase of South Korea feed group of 133,000 tons of optional orange corn. So, you know, we did see a little bit there. So a little bit there to talk about. But just technically, this market just got a little bit too oversold, I think, for this early in the year.
What is good that it managed to put in a key reversal, even if it's a daily. That makes the technical side feel a little better than it has. I don't know how much better, but a little better. And it will give the black boxes something to look at as they go into the overnight trade, too, I suppose.
Yeah, you know, the March beans traded to a 7-month low overnight. They recovered, and it looks like, you know, we're looking outside an outside day higher there. You know, the next resistance is 1247½, which will take us a little bit to get back up to that. But, you know, and the oil went to a new 8-month low overnight before it recovered. So, but, you know, we're looking good to make a little recoveries and bounce backs here. We need to see something good happen in the news to let us hold these gains and maybe try to, you know, turn this around a little bit and get back to some decent prices.
I did also make note that there were some imports of Brazilian soybeans, I think, into the southeast as well. Earlier is the important part than usual.
Right.
Right. Yes.
They generally import some beans there and crush that. It isn't going along there. But like you say, it is about a couple months earlier than they generally do that. And it was sort of a negative talk about thing. I mean, it put sort of a heavy feeling on things as you looked at that they were importing the beans already. But today's market, hopefully the charts will maybe turn a little feelings about that around that way. So we can hope that that keeps us on a little bit of turnaround, and we can follow through on Wednesday with that.
Yeah, we hope for a turnaround Tuesday to turn into a turnaround week. Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He is with AgMarket.net. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Comes to you from Illinois Public Medium. Wayne will also join us for our All-Day Ag Outlook. That's at the Beef House on Tuesday, the 5th day of March. You can too, but not until you register. You can do that right now at willag.org. Again, the address to register for the All-Day Ag Outlook is willag.org. Let's check in now with Dan O'Brien. He's at Kansas State University Extension, and usually we talk with him about agricultural energies. We'll probably discuss something about the ethanol market today, but he's been traveling like the rest of the crew. That means agricultural economists and most other folks that are involved in agriculture on the meeting circuit for the winter. I know you have hosted recently webinars and meetings on grain marketing, not only in Kansas, but in North Dakota. And have been discussing where marketings are for producers. Dan, thank you for joining us. What did you hear back from producers? What are their biggest concerns at this point? Old crop, new crop, both, just pricing?
Just pricing and the low prices. Again, lots of concern about the possibilities for not just old crop sales to have returns, positive returns to storage, and already given the downward trend since harvest, we were already in the hole on most of these crops on that. And then also discussion about where new crop prices may go. I sense, Todd, quite a bit of I get a lot of questions about how seasonality as we go through the not just the remainder of this old crop season here in the U.S. with still South American production questions to be answered, upcoming WASDE reports, you name it, but also if the markets now are representing truly the scenario that we'll see the rest of the year. So we had quite a bit of discussion about the timeframes that where we'd be getting new information, and again, new USDA reports on acreage, more planting intentions coming up the end of March, acreage report end of June, all that coming into play, and so that's an issue. We also were paying quite a bit of attention to the positions of traders, again with the bearishness that we're seeing in the grain futures markets. Again, how has that borne out in terms of for managed money traders, or you know, those with speculative positions who make money on either by selling if they're a bear or buying if they're a bull on for the direction of prices? You know, what are things representing? And in the Dakotas, especially when you look at the positions of in the hard red spring wheat futures, you know, they don't pay economists to use hyperbole, but it was pretty amazing to see the buildup of negative of bearish short positions in the managed money specs. Quite a bit in corn too, again, and in soybeans. Strong moves, very pronounced recent increases in negative sell positions for both those commodities, more so probably from a historic context in corn than for soybeans, but soybeans also moving in that same direction. For hard red winter wheat, which I follow, we follow quite a bit here in Kansas, we've also seen some bearishness of late, but the times that when we were really having deep short positions on the managed money specs for hard red We're back really in 2017, 2019 thereabouts, and we're about 80% of the way there in terms of how much the negative the short position has grown. So a lot of questions, you know, that we wonder about seasonality and if in these contracts, if for those traders that have those positions, if they're largely in the March futures, well, you know, we're entering into February. It's not going to be that long where they'll have to roll out of that. You know, all those sell positions, they'll have to buy back. And if they're still bearish, then they'll start selling the May contracts. But that hasn't, you know, again, that hasn't happened yet. So I guess we'll see.
I have some questions about this because what you just discussed in those last few sentences were the ebb and flow of the marketplace. I have
right.
one position, I've got a roll, and that's an ebb and flow, relatively speaking. But as the ag economist, and I'm sure when you were talking with Frayne Olson in North Dakota last week, you may have had these discussions. The marketplace is supposed to, futures markets, represent the price of futures at that point in time, and yeah. that while producers and others may feel like outside market, if they're big enough, or even if they're not, can swamp the marketplace.
Oh yeah,
it's only temporary, right? In those ebb and flows in the cash market, and the cash market actually dictates what is a price where you live.
Yeah.
So the price is correct.
Well, yes, and we believe in market efficiency. But a long or a short trader still has a position that they have to manage. You know, and they'll get in and out of it, roll out of one into the other, and then you're getting into issues. As you know, my good friends at Illinois, you know, Scott Irwin, others, are well versed in market dynamics and all of that. So yes, we believe in market efficiency, but on the way there, you have market narratives. You were starting to bring in something called behavioral finance in terms of how the trade looks at information and. So I guess what I'm driving at is right now, until we would get new news probably out from the upcoming USDA WASDE report, and I believe it's February the 8th, is that right, for the next WASDE report, we'll be looking for some, quote, quasi-hard numbers to represent what that South American situation is in Brazil for corn and soybeans, as well as Argentina, and also what our how the USDA judges the pace of our usage, again, to give us an idea of supply-demand tightness or not. And so we tend to, and this is where if we invited all the ag economists in from Illinois and Kansas State and had a discussion, we'd have a strenuous debate about what the market considers when. And right now, you know, are we considering planting time risk, et cetera? Not really. Not. I think we're considering. We'll consider that when it's right in front of us. Right now, we're just assuming everything's going to be normal. And you know, so until we have to deal with those issues or have more information, we're assuming good crops in 2024, and that may or may not come out.
Right, but that's normal. Normal would, and average crops would be
right.
big crops, because they are. So normal is what you should do.
Yeah, at this point.
Until it's not normal at some point,
mm-hmm.
correct? When you're in the marketing terms. So I do want to go back to an item you picked up early on. Producers, whether they have grain in the bin or whether they have it at the elevator, have been piling up both either interest and in charges on the monthly, and more to come now. And they're really worried because they're now looking at a price tag much lower, minus all those costs, and that becomes very difficult for the old crop. What do you tell them?
Well, at that point, we've been looking at the seasonal charts. To try to gain a perspective on what we typically see for these markets now coming out of January into February and into March, and if that's the time, you know, absent a an unforeseen issue in the U.S. economy or more problems in South America. You know, what do we tend to see? We tend to see sideways to a little bit higher, and really for in February in particular, and we don't see a lot of volatility. We kind of have a choke point in terms, at least in Kansas, in the variability and trend of prices. But spring is coming, and we'll have the requisite set of issues on questions about what corn versus soybean acres will be. Here in Kansas, we'll be wondering about grain sorghum. We'll break dormancy in March for hard red winter wheat, and you folks have for your soft red winter. You'll be looking at these issues, and you'll try to judge. You'll make a judgment on where the crop is at, and so we have questions that will force us to move beyond just the assumption of normality that we'll have to deal with, and that uncertainty, those questions are likely to bring volatility into the market. That has been our pattern. So when you going back to your question, what hope do they have, or what are the prospects for storage? Well, if they're near an ethanol plant, they happen to be short, or there's an export supplier is trying to fill a barge, fill a train, whatever. They may have a burst higher with a more positive basis. Those are certainly things to take advantage of. On average, with the larger bulk of grain, if that grain is stored out into the spring, then at the same time it's I guess following the same thing that both rewards and bothers our Kansas and Illinois farmers, that probably some of our better pricing opportunities will probably come when they'll be busy in the fields and doing a whole bunch of other stuff. the possibility, the likelihood of price volatility really either way, and probably as much the upside as not, probably comes out at when we're turning our attention to the production issues that the U.S. will have to deal with in late March, April, and May.
It always does. Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate talking with you.
That's Dan O'Brien. He is with Kansas State University Extension. Hey, registration is open now for the All Day Ag Outlook. That's Tuesday, the 5th day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You'll have a full day's event for just $40. $40, which includes the Beef House roll and coffee in the morning, plus the Beef House lunch at the noon hour, and all the things that go on throughout the day. We'll kick off our meeting, as usual, with Eric Snodgrass. He'll talk about the growing region's weather. We'll follow that up with a Bill Ag Soybean panel to include Ellen Dearden, Chip Nellinger, Merrill Crowley, Aaron Curtis, and Danny Pfaff. And then Phil Ansell will join us in the morning. He's the director of the Center for Sustainable Aviation here on campus at the University of Illinois. We've talked a lot about renewable diesel over the last year, almost nothing about SAF or sustainable aviation fuel other than it's coming. And Phil Ansell will help us answer all the questions that we've been thinking about as it relates to SAF, ethanol, soybean oil, biofuels, and whether the aviation industry is ready really to use this fuel and how soon the fuel might be ready for it. Oh, and Aaron Hager will be there in the morning as well. He's a weed scientist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. He's going to talk about the Endangered Species Act and herbicides. This is something you most assuredly have heard about and you'll want to know a lot more about. And then in the afternoon, we'll do budgets, outlook, crop insurance, the safety net, and talk about the corn market as well. Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, Greg Johnson, and Mike Zuzulo will be there. And Bruce Sherrick will round out our day. It should be a good one. He'll talk about the price of farmland all at the Will Ag Illinois Extension Farm Dock All Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The cost is $40. Don't wait. Register today. You can find information online at willag.org. Don Day from Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming now joins us. Good afternoon to you, Don. Thanks for being with us. Can you tell me a little bit about the weather forecast here in the United States? Start in the far west for me and work your way toward the Midwest, where temperatures have really been mild over the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's hard to believe we were sub-zero in many areas not that long ago. It's very easy to forget those cold days when we've had the warmer weather coming. And we can thank the Pacific for that. The Arctic air has retreated. It's still up there. Alaska is going through a bitter cold wave. And we'll hear for a little bit longer. But they're keeping that Arctic air. And it's not going to be able to have a chance to do much movement south here in the coming days. So the Pacific, behind a very strong jet stream going across the Pacific, and this is something you would expect in an El Nino, that's going to be driving a lot of rain into the West Coast. We're going to see significant rains move in tomorrow night, Thursday into Friday across California. It's going to rain and snow in places like Arizona and across many areas of the Rockies. It's a system, though, that's not very cold. It's going to produce a fair amount of rain as it spreads eastward. So parts of the southern plains and parts of the plain states and even parts of the Corn Belt this weekend into early next week, we'll have rain with this system, especially in the western areas as we get to Sunday, late Saturday into Sunday and Monday. The warmer air getting pushed out ahead of the storm, as I said, will mainly make it rain in parts of the Midwest and keep our temperatures mild for a little bit longer.
Do they cool down like an Arctic blast after that, or are we in for nicer weather?
Well, you know, right now we think that Arctic air is going to be held at bay for a little bit longer. I think there's an opportunity that the very cold air that's up along the north slope of Alaska, the higher latitudes, will probably have an opportunity before February's over to come back south. But at least here over the next 10 to 14 days, we don't see that. But we do see a pattern that's going to be more active. More active meaning better chances of precipitation. With that will be some cooler temperatures, trending closer to average, not quite as mild as we've been enjoying.
In South America, what have you been watching?
Well, there's been a bit of a trend change. Over the last week or so, precipitation chances got a little more widespread and better, especially in Brazil, while Argentina was dry. The next 15 days, South America, with the exception of the far northern parts of that continent, so most of Brazil, most of Argentina, have got some good rain chances. So the trend here over the last few weeks has been to be a little more wet, and that will continue here for the next week or two.
Hey, thank you much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Came to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. And there you'll find a way to register for the All Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The cost is just $40. That includes your morning Beef House roll and coffee and the lunch, the noon hour, and all the things that go along with a full day event. Find more information and register online at willag.org. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.